Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Matthew. We are in the 21st chapter. It's one we all know well, right? We've already heard most of it just in our hymnody. But we are hearing Matthew's version of what happened on that day coming into Jerusalem. Jesus has been traveling with his disciples. So we pick up the story. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The word power has come to me so much this week as I wrote the services, as I read the scriptures, as I listened to the news, and even as I worked in my Monday through Friday job. We use it a lot, don't we? We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit makes all things possible, gives us the ability to be transformed, to do the work of the Lord, even when we are not so gifted. Amazing, that kind of power. We started this season of Lent out talking about the power of God and the power of God's Spirit and the power of God's breath even last week to create all of the universe out of nothing. The power to give life and to take away life and to restore life. Amazing, isn't it, to think about? We can't really fathom, I think, in many ways, that kind of power. I was listening with one ear. You know how sometimes you listen with one ear, and my radio is always on to NPR. And they were talking about the situation in Venezuela at the beginning of this week. That was, of course, before there was the use of chemical weapons in Syria. But in Venezuela, President Maduro, who was the successor to his predecessor, President Chavez, is running into some problems. Yeah. He's sort of taking a lot more power than the Constitution really says he should. And it's being supported not only by the army, but by their Supreme Court, which actually a week ago said that their Congress was in contempt of court and therefore didn't exist and couldn't do anything. That sounds a little bit like a coup to me, but, you know, I'm sitting on the sidelines and I'm not in Venezuela, so what do I know? He did encourage them to rescind that, and then at the beginning of the week they did, but the bit I heard was that under his predecessor, President Chavez, there was 19 elections. Every time something came up, he wanted an election. Let the people vote. He encouraged there to be elections for village mayors and school boards and justices and elections all the way up. He kept throwing elections, even had elections to change the Constitution to allow him to stay for a third term. He had all kinds of elections. President Maduro, on the other hand, was elected president after Chavez died and has managed to cancel every scheduled election since then, even for little villages. And the person I heard being interviewed was trying to run for mayor of his town. He hoped there would be election. He thought he might win because he was like the only one who wanted the job. But chances are pretty good there would be no election. And so Maduro is shoring up his power by denying people theirs. Hard to believe we're using the same word when we talk about a situation like that as when we talk about the workings of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And so then one has to wonder what it is about power that can be so defined by the person that has it. We see that there are human beings who, when they get economic power, perhaps have more assets, greater wealth, as we call it, they start wanting other kinds of power. Maybe political power. Maybe power that's not regulated. Maybe power over other people. Sometimes it's not big at all. Sometimes it's not about giant economic powers, but it's about our own personal individual power. Some people who have lived with dysfunction in their families of origin or dysfunction within the family they grew up and put together have started feeling an erosion of their own power and their own voice. And they might choose to try and have greater control about what happens to them and about what they participate in and the way in which they participate in it, because they see that as being their only access to power, to existence, to dignity, to hope. And in my Monday through Friday job, as I journey with people whose lives are coming to an end on earth and they're transitioning into eternal life, as the diseases in their bodies progress and they start losing control and power to do simple things, it becomes even more important to them to hang on to what they can do. different ways, different needs, different people. The question, perhaps, is how does God use God's power? How does God interact with us when God is so powerful that we learned from Moses, if we even looked upon God, we would die? God desires a relationship with us, and yet the power balance is kind of extreme, isn't it? We're created beings who have a finite life and very limited abilities, and God is everything. God comes to us, not with judgment, but reaching out that we might grow our relationship, that we might understand God, that we might come to love and believe in God. And so God sets aside his power and is born a baby, a human baby. Think about it. All the mammals, the most vulnerable, the one that takes the longest time to grow and develop, the one that takes forever to become self-sufficient, or at least to a 17-year-old, maybe it seems forever to become self-sufficient, is a human being. How long before we can hold our heads ourselves? How long before we sit up ourselves? How long before we can take food from our parents and feed ourselves? How long before we can walk? How long before we can run? How long before we understand danger and can protect ourselves? How long do we live vulnerable, exposed? God chose to set aside his power and come to us, a human being, from birth on, vulnerable, at risk. And then at the right time, that baby Jesus, a full-grown man, starts a ministry, teaching, healing, sharing, sending disciples out to heal and teach on their own, offering God's grace and love and mercy to all people. And the culmination of that is a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the city of David, where Solomon built the temple. The temple that was destroyed got rebuilt in stone that it might be more difficult to destroy. A temple where the flame of God existed and the people went to worship. And this carpenter of lowly estate at one of the lowest economic stratas of his time rides a donkey into the biggest cosmopolitan city of the area, the spiritual home of the Jews. Not with armies, not with munitions and weapons, but with people thrilled to see him, waving branches, putting coats on the ground, shouting, "Save us, save us! Hosanna, Hosanna, save us!" And being willing to set aside control of his own life knowing that before week's end, he would be crucified. All the power in the universe, and yet controlled, offered with love, granting mercy, blessing all of us with grace. There is power, and sometimes we human beings give way too much credit and allegiance to great power within our realm. Maybe we should make sure that it's truly God's power that we're serving. Maybe we should rejoice when God's power touches our lives, that we are blessed with such gifts. In this week, we will celebrate the Last Supper, and we will celebrate and lament the crucifixion of Jesus. And we look forward to the resurrection. Let us reflect on the ways that we seek power and the ways that others around us do as well. And then think about the fact that God has been willing to set aside his power, that he might be with us, that he might share with us his love, his hope, and his joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.